It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Technically, this is the last time I could wear this shirt, because we're about to enter year 26 doing this crazy thing. Happy New Year, everyone. It is Saturday morning, December 31st, 2022. If I have to look at the computer's calendar to remind me of the date, something is wrong here. This is the Don Tony Show. I want to thank you all for joining me, whether it's live or on a replay. Much love, and thank you for a fun 2022. I am so looking forward to 2023. You know, it's interesting because last year, closing out 2021, it really felt like a repeat of 2020. I think COVID was probably the biggest reason behind that. But 2022, especially for pro wrestling, felt quite different. And it wasn't just because what happened with CM Punk. It isn't just because what happened with Vince McMahon. 2022, when you really look back at it, it's been a pretty damn good year for pro wrestling. And I don't base that on the number of five-star matches. I just look at, you know, just the overall progression of certain wrestlers and feuds and storylines and, you know, the quality of matches, the quality of the storylines. I think things have been amped up. And now with Bray Wyatt, you know, just throwing something random out there, I think WWE and Bray Wyatt realized that, you know, trying to milk not returning to the ring until WrestleMania was probably not going to be accepted by fans. And as we saw in the last 3 or 4 weeks, fans were really starting to get impatient. Why is this feud with LA Knight taking what's going to be 2 months? Like, every other place, you'd have a backstage segment, an incident, an attack, and, you know, next thing you know, a match is announced the following week or two. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, you know what? They're taking their time. Good. We don't normally see that. This was overkill. Now, Bray Wyatt has returned to the ring at house shows, Madison Square Garden, a few others. Unfortunately, I don't know if anybody saw it on SmackDown yesterday, but he had tape around, I believe it was his right hand, two fingers. He broke one of his fingers in a match against Jinder Mahal. So I don't think that'll affect him all that much. But, hey, we're going to get Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight at the Royal Rumble, which is something we were hoping was going to happen. Probably the circumstances around the match is less to be desired. We'll talk about the Pitch Black match, why they're doing it. We'll get into a few things. Now, just to let everyone know, a couple little programming notes. This show, I am going to do my hardest to keep it around an hour for the simple reason that later on tonight, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be here live, reigning in 2023. We will do it pretty similar to what we did last year. I will have simulcasts on the screen, countries all around the world. We'll see live fireworks. We'll wish some other countries Happy New Year as it goes down. We will see the ball drop at midnight, live right here. You will not, well, let's keep it PG for today. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I hope you can join me. If you're home tonight and you're bored and you want to just hang out and chat for a little bit. You know, last year was a little different. Because remember, last year we had WWE Day One. You know, and WWE is having an event right after New Year's. You know, but it's not a pay-per-view. We're not getting WWE Day One this year. And remember also, it was New Year's Eve, that controversy with Big Swall and Tony Khan. So we actually had some substantial topics to get into last year on New Year's Eve. But this show, we're going to talk about news and a few things that went down the last couple of days. And tonight, it's going to be just laid-back fun. So if you'd like to join me Absolutely. Now, a few of you asked, are we doing a sit-down tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you out there are not going to be around tonight. You're going to be hungover like mofos. So Sunday night at 8.05 p.m., January 1st, we will do another sit-down. And this coming Thursday, January 5th, we do the next mailbag. So just a couple little programming notes. All right. As you saw at the very beginning of the show, unfortunately, we lost, you know, an underappreciated announcer in the world of pro wrestling, and that is Don West. And I am at the top of that list for many, many years, not liking this guy's work. And for some reason, just watching retro TNA years later, it just clicked. It all came together for me. Now, it was sad because if you remember back, I would say November, you know, we were talking about how Jim Ross was now cancer-free. But we also, you could go check out that episode, we said pray for Don West because his brain lymphoma came back. And when you get brain lymphoma, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even going to pretend to be one. But if you do some research on what brain lymphoma is, that is a very vicious form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's very vicious. And if you get it early enough, it is curable. But it came back. And in November, you started hearing little rumblings. And it kind of surprised me in November that a lot of shows, a lot of people out there, people in wrestling were, you know, talking about it and keeping Don West in their prayers. But a lot of people just, I think, brushed it off. I didn't see much talked about it. And unfortunately, he died yesterday, 59 years old. You would think that he might have been a little bit older, but he wasn't. You go back to TNA 20 years ago, wasn't even 40 years old yet. Now, look, I'm not going to spend 30 minutes here talking about Don West. We're doing a quick show today, but I will say this about Don West. You know, we have had our plethora of jokes about Don West over the years. My first experience of Don West was being frauded a little bit on Shop at Home. And if anybody is not familiar with it, you know, you got Home Shopping Network, you got QVC, you got a few others. Well, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, late at night, there would be a shopping network called Shop at Home. And I would watch it every single week. They'd sell swords. They'd sell basketball cards, baseball cards, memorabilia. Who remembers Ken Golden? And the guy almost had a heart attack every time he called up. You would think he's having an orgasm talking about some of the merchandise. Scottie Pippen jersey. And Don West was right smack in the middle of it. And he used to shill so much shit on Shop at Home. And we all fell for it for a while. Now, am I accusing Don West of fraud? No. If you do some Google search about uncut sheets and Shop at Home and Jordan rookie cards, you see where it gets. I'm a little surprised that some people behind Shop at Home didn't go to jail for the fraud. But what would happen with Don West, and you realize he was perfect as a color commentator for wrestling. The only question was he a wrestling fan? Can he get the moves down? And can he, you know, act like he knows what he's seeing in the ring? And he checked off all the boxes. The problem is he went directly from Shop at Home to TNA. And that was a hard sell for a lot of us out there because we're watching Shop at Home and he's shilling things. And my memories of Shop at Home, without even researching, Beanie Babies, my God, remember all the Beanie Babies, the bears? But I remember, you know, a couple of times they would open packs. They'd have like 1,000 packs on the screen and you could buy like 500 packs for $30. And they open it up and they just go through the cards and go through the cards and they pull one out. Oh, look, you know, and it made you feel like the card was so freaking valuable. Now, in 99 and 2000, around that era, you know, you really didn't have Beckett guides laying around. You couldn't really do a Google search. You had Alta Vista and others, but you really couldn't check to see what these actual values were. But the one thing that was hilarious is that whenever they would do a countdown clock and he would say, we only have 5 minutes left, 5 minutes left. Once the 5 minutes is up, it's gone. I'll never be back. And 5-minute countdown would come, and then the countdown would expire, and they didn't sell as many as they could, and would go overtime. But then what he would also do is he would say, we only have 30 left. You're limited to 5. And you call the automated line, and just for the hell of it, when he said, only 5 per customer, we have to ship. And then you type in the automated line, you type in 30, and it would say, your cost is $1,377 plus 1 for Visa. And you realize they tried to make it seem so limited. But my favorite moment in the history of Shop at Home was when he shilled uncut sheets. And I will never forget. I don't remember what baseball set it was. I don't remember what year it was. But I remember him telling us on the screen that, you know, you have an uncut sheet and you could take the uncut sheet and bring it to a professional cutter and you could have them cut the cards custom to you. And now you got perfectly centered, perfect rated 10 cards. Now, I'm not saying that he advised everyone to go to Beckett or, you know, whatever it is, JSA and get it. But, man, you realize, like, motherfuckers, like, pretty much telling us, go and get it cut perfectly, and you could go get it graded. And, man, and then he went to TNA, and he was a human Red Bull. I wish I had 10% of that guy's energy. But if you go to my This Week in Wrestling History shows and some of the TNA clips, AJ Styles winning the belt, Raven, Jarrett, and others, and I played some clips, I remember one match where for 15 minutes, you could not count even 2 seconds of air between Mike Tenay and Don West. And I swear to God, I made mention of it repeatedly. And they just gelled. And my God, I will never forget that match. I think it was Raven and AJ and Jack. It was a combination thereof. But for 15 minutes, they didn't come up for air, not even for 2 seconds. And it was just, it was truly total nonstop announcing, TNA. But that guy, and then you heard behind the scenes how well-liked he was, wasn't a dick, you know, just very friendly and truly loved wrestling, truly loved what he was doing. And a lot of people said to me over the last bunch of years that it did break his heart that, you know, he wasn't doing the commentating, you know, like before. And, you know, I say this, and I mean this sincerely. I've said it before, so I don't want anybody to think I'm saying it because he died. But, you know, you look back at Jimmy Smith, Adnan Verk, Adnan. You look at some people who came from the sports world and tried to do play-by-play. Yes, WWE, it's a little more pressure, a little more demanding. But you look at Don West, who didn't work the indies, who didn't do small little promotions beforehand, goes from Shop at Home into the play-by-play booth for TNA. And TNA trying to start off with a bang in 2002 weekly pay-per-views and to see how quick that man picked up on it. It's almost mind-boggling, seriously. You go back, even in the early days, sure, it was a little rough around the edges, you know, but for someone with no pro wrestling commentating, really play-by-play at all, to go from one extreme to another and like a fish out of water, you got to give that man respect. And I will say this in closing. You look online and you see all the tributes from people within pro wrestling. Michael Cole yesterday on SmackDown paying some respects for Don West. I truly believe Don West never in a million years ever expected the outpouring of love and appreciation. I mean, no, people loved him. He knew that. People appreciated him. But the level yesterday, watching on social media, it made me smile, man. It really made me smile. And, you know, 59 years old is way too freaking young to go. You know, that scares the shit out of me because I'm in my 50s, you know, and I got a little bit of issues. And it just goes to show you just never know. It's just sad that they couldn't catch this lymphoma in time. So, Don West, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Don West. Oh, yeah. I got to do it. Not just because somebody, you know, sent a 10-spot Sticky Fingers Frank. You know, what were the two cards that Don West always pushed on Shop at Home more than anything else? That Mark McGwire 1985 USA baseball team rookie card and Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds! Look, everyone, Barry Bonds! I never, you know, it's funny. If I practiced a few extra minutes, I could probably do Don West for the whole show. And I'm sure it's not very good. But the funny thing is, like, my friend Darren, who was a singer very, very young in his life, and I used to go to this woman's house who would give him private lessons. No, not that, but private lesson singing. And I remember how she used to say, you know, you got to, you know, like the air's got to come from here, not from here. It's got to come from here. And, you know, when you do a Don West impersonation, you have to really go into your gut and just get that extra oomph to, like, you can't just say Barry Bonds. You got to be like, no, Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, look at her. Oh, man. I always had fun. Hey, Saturday Night Live used to spoof Don West too, man. Good guy. Really good guy. Rest in peace. All right. Let's move on. All right, SmackDown yesterday. All right. Let's, you know, before we talk about Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy, let's just briefly get this out of the way. For those that don't know, or just want my little reaction to it, last night Charlotte Flair came back, won the WWE Women's Championship, beating Ronda Rousey. Now, Ronda Rousey, I have no problem with the title change. And I'll explain why in a moment. I thought how it got to that was awfully horrible, stupid. Ronda Rousey just had an excellent match with Raquel Rodriguez that went a long time. Now, in my opinion, Ronda Rousey probably should have faced Xia Li and beat her in a minute. Hey, you know, I'm just warming up here. Give me someone else. If you have the balls, come out and face me. Then you have Emma come out. Beats her in a minute or two. You know, it's the end of 2022. I'm in a good mood. Someone else come out. Then I would have Charlotte Flair come out. What made no sense yesterday is that Ronda Rousey just had, I don't know, 15-minute, excellent, top-notch match with Raquel Rodriguez. And then Charlotte Flair's music, and by the way, it's a variation of old music, new music, Ric Flair's music. I dig it. She comes out. And Ronda, you know, flubbing her lines a little bit. And as soon as she started talking, look, I'm a fan of Ronda Rousey. I support her. But I felt like, okay, here comes the human Xanax back. Oh, I guess you're out here because you want to match it, you know, the SummerSlam. Oh, no. It's the Royal Rumble because it's quicker. And it was just like, oh. And Charlotte Flair's like, no, I want to face you tonight. And I'm thinking to myself, why in any storyline logic would Ronda Rousey accept it? Now, we were in the watch party yesterday. By the way, shout out to everybody who showed up yesterday. You know, we just had such an overload yesterday, and I want to build on it. If you want those watch parties to remain, and some of you said, hey, I don't go because, you know, you're not in the rooms all that much. I was in there yesterday for 3 freaking hours straight, so join me Tuesday. But we were saying, like, you know, like, Charlotte, smack her in the face. Like, get her pissed. Like, do something. Put her down. Don't just stand there and stare at each other. And Ronda's like, and she drapes the title on the floor. And Shayna Baszler's like, what are you nuts? She just had this great match. And Ronda Rousey, her whole character now is supposed to be like a punk-ass bitch. And I thought it was so stupid the way they had Ronda accept it. Charlotte should have slapped her, should have thrown jokes at her, should have thrown insults to piss off Ronda enough. Kind of like what Seth Rollins did with Bobby Lashley, if you remember. Like, to just issue the challenge and just have a stare down and she throw it. Anyway, Charlotte Flair beats her in about 90 seconds. And the funny thing is that what a tale of two worlds, to put it. The live audience popped big. Charlotte Flair playing the babyface popped big. You go on social media. No, let me get this clear. There are a boatload of fans that like Charlotte Flair, that's happy that she's back. A tremendous upgrade immediately in the world of women's wrestling in the WWE. But my God, the fucking noise online. People just losing their shit. Angry. This motherfucker, she comes back on her first fucking night back after an absence. She wins the women's championship. Yeah, well, guess what? She's not the only person that that's happened to. Does anybody remember Payback? Roman Reigns, Universal Champion, came back, won the championship. Does anybody remember AJ Lee? After taking an absence in 2014, showing up out of nowhere, beating Paige for the women's championship. What about the Royal Rumble 2016 with Triple H winning the WWE Championship? What about Edge coming back Survivor Series, I think, what was it, 2008, getting a championship? Oh, he wasn't the only one. What about John Cena beating Chris Jericho? And who remembers TLC? Anybody remember TLC? Wasn't that long ago. We were in the Thunderdome era. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, women's tag team champions, taking on Asuka and a mystery partner. And who did that mystery partner end up being? Woo! Woo! So we've had that. We've had that. You know, Charlotte Flair is top shelf. In-ring, promo. It's just that people don't like her. So anytime she is thrown right back into the mix of things, and at the top, who else do you want Ronda Rousey to dethrone right now? Chelsea Green? Nothing against Chelsea Green. But, you know, come on. Do you think the WWE Universe gives a shit? Come on. Look at that roster on SmackDown. And you really start telling me, like, who is somebody right now, really, that the whole WWE Universe... Charlotte Flair is an upgrade from Ronda Rousey, who, I don't know, was an upgrade from Liv Morgan. But Liv Morgan, at the end of 22, her stock is much higher than what it was at the end of 2021. So seeing Charlotte Flair regaining the championship, yeah, to me, that's an upgrade. And, you know, she's the top women's wrestler in the last 15 years, period. She still goes on a high level. You know, people get angry because she doesn't sell for this person, or she doesn't do this for this person, or this for this person. But, you know, at the end of the day, remember, friends, this was Triple H. This was WWE that made the decision. Charlotte Flair didn't come back and say, hey, you know, I put the women's title back on me tonight. You want me to come back? Put the title on me. Everybody gets mad at Charlotte Flair. They don't say nothing about Triple H, because when Chelsea Green signs, oh, another win for Triple H. Congrats, Queen, on becoming women's champion, my opinion. Not telling you that you have to like her, but you have to respect the hustle, as Guardian of Chaos always says. All right, let's talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt. We had a little shift in the storyline yesterday. Uncle Howdy has a new mask. Has a new mask, my friends. This was the old mask. People didn't realize yesterday that Uncle Howdy got a new mask and a mask designed to wrestle. Now, yesterday we really didn't have good colored versions of the new mask because the lights were out in the building. And that'll segue into the Royal Rumble match in a few moments. But as the night progressed, some better quality photos came out. And with the capabilities of photo programs and tweaking colors, that's what the mask looks like now. Now, let me get this right out of the way for everybody. for those out there that keep saying to me, DT, that's not Uncle Howdy. That could be Uncle Harper. That is not Uncle Howdy. That is not Uncle. But may I direct you to WWE's own YouTube page? What does that say on their channel? Uncle Howdy attacks Bray Wyatt. Uncle Howdy has theme music now. That is Uncle Howdy. It is just now under a wrestling mask. So yesterday, as Bray Wyatt is accepting a challenge from LA Knight at the Royal Rumble, the lights go out. Uncle Howdy comes out. New music, new mask, hits the ring, and has a little stare down with Bray Wyatt. I improved the color as best as I could, everyone. Remember, the building was pitch black, so I did the best I could. So they're having a stare down, and then the next thing you know, Uncle Howdy hits Sister Abigail on Bray Wyatt. Now, the big question is, who is Uncle Howdy? I think it is safe to say that we narrow it down to two people. Now, I know yesterday I threw a name out there. You know, and a few people try to be cute. Oh, you're only realizing this now? How many people said this? I don't base things on what people fucking say. I don't base things on what people fucking write. How many of you same people are going to go back to everyone else and say, hey, you know what? DT is the one that threw out John Cena versus Logan Paul way before Logan Paul even talked about that match at WrestleMania. You know, so don't give me that shit. I base things on what I see. I base things on what I see on TV. Everybody out there was trying to convince, no, it's Edge. Edge is returning. That mask, that's Edge. That's not Bray Wyatt. Remember all those wacky scenarios? People, even though we realized it was 100%. Remember the White Rabbits and everything else? And didn't somebody also say, oh, it's Karrion Kross? You know, we analyzed all the scenarios, but it was Bray Wyatt. Everybody knew, but people still kept insisting others because they wanted you to just click on their conversations. So now we narrow it down, I think, to two people. And I'm going to show you who I said yesterday I think this Uncle Howdy is. And I'll show you why. But there's one thing stopping me to go 1,000% full-blown with my choice. So, all right, so this is... That is the new mask. Not bad. Not bad. If you look at it a little bit closer, and I know it's on the left part of the screen, and for those in audio only, no worries. You know, you could always check out what time today we have, about 28-minute mark of the show. If you look at that mask, okay, it's almost like, what's that? Phantom of the Opera. I know Phantom of the Opera only had one eye, but actually the original mask, I think, covered both eyes. I think it was a full mask. But if you look at this mask closely, the mask looks like it covers the whole face except for the mouth. Now, whoever beard that is, they obviously took makeup and put some gray makeup to cover up part of the mouth. Now, if you look also, it could be contact lenses, but the eyes are blue eyes. Now, let me tell you who I posted yesterday, I think it is, and I'll explain why even further, but there is one thing stopping me from moving away from Bo Dallas. I'll show you in a minute. Now, look at the beard, look at the hair, and now I want to show you someone else. My friends, I think this very well could be the former Ring of Honor, Vincent. I think this could end up being Vincent of Ring of Honor. That doesn't look good. Oh, hold on. That doesn't look good either. All right. I got it in the background. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures in a moment. I think this is Vincent. All right. If you look at Vincent's physique, okay, if you look at his face right off the bat, all right, the beard, especially if you look at some older pictures of it, the beard is very, very similar. All right, but here's something else a lot of people need to realize. Do you remember last week when Uncle Howdy came out on the stage, or even 2 weeks ago? Remember we were making jokes that it looked like he was just slightly taller than the Leprechaun, that movie Leprechaun? You know, Bray Wyatt is listed, I believe, at 6'3". I think he's listed as 6'3". Bo Dallas is listed, I think, at 6'1". Now, let's go to an old picture of Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt. If you look closely, I think there is about an inch, maybe inch and a half height difference between the two. If you look over here, now, yes, Bray Wyatt is wearing a hat, so you really can't tell, but it definitely, Bo Dallas can be a little bit shorter. With regards to Vincent, formerly of Ring of Honor, that guy's height, some places reported as 6 foot tall, some places reported 5'10". Somebody claimed 5'8", which it's not, but he is a little shorter than even Bo Dallas. And if you remember, like I said, the whoever came out on the rampway last week or the week before, he was short. You really looked at it, he was short. The reason why I'm not convinced that it's Bo Dallas is another reason. I'm going to show you here. You really can't see it here. This might give you a better look at it. But the physique of whoever this is a little stockier. Now, I don't know if Bo Dallas has put on any weight recently. You go back to this picture, this kind of like helps a little bit too. Whoever it is a little bit stockier than what we remember Bo Dallas to be. The physique, the height, even the hair to an extent, sure, you know, Vincent may not have the dreads anymore, but there are pictures of Vincent with a beard very, very similar to this. And yes, there are pictures of him with gray, you know, as well. But the only reason why I'm not 100% convinced that it is Vincent is because of the hair. If you look at the top of the head of the Uncle Howdy character, it looks very similar to the hair of the scalp of Vincent. As you go down and you look at the long locks, man, you look at freaking Bo Dallas's hair. I mean, the hair reminds me more of Bo Dallas. But again, I don't think Bo Dallas has put on that much weight to be that stocky. Look at the Uncle Howdy character again from 2 weeks ago. You know, look even yesterday. Whoever that is appears to be a little bit stockier than Bo Dallas and maybe an inch or two shorter. So, you know, I looked at the hair. You know, it's very hard to tweak your scalp, believe me. But I really think at the end of the day, this could very well be Vincent. Now, I'm not saying that Bo Dallas won't be involved in this. I'm not saying that at all. Some people think Dutch. No, not Dutch Mantel. Go search some Ring of Honor history if you're not aware of it. I know a lot of you probably don't know it, but he could be involved in this in some way as well. I personally think if there's going to be a rival against Bray Wyatt, I feel like a known person, someone who we know, has to be involved in it. That's why I think at the end of the day, Bo Dallas may still be involved. We might get a little swerve where everybody thinks it's Bo Dallas and then it's revealed to be Vincent or vice versa. So I just wanted to throw it out there. And it was very, very cool to be able to get, you know, like some better pictures. I mean, I really, really, I dig the mask. I dig the mask, but let's make it clear, everyone. This is Uncle Howdy. This is the wrestling mask that whoever is going to be in the ring is going to come out wearing this mask. And if you look at the mustache, I mean, they tried to mimic the mustache. So, but it is Uncle Howdy. So if everyone out there that thinks it's not Uncle Howdy, it is Uncle Howdy. Even WWE's YouTube page wrote it as Uncle Howdy. So we will see what happens. Now, Royal Rumble is going to have a pitch black match. And let me explain why this is and what we fear it's going to be. First of all, the reason why this is being done is because Mountain Dew is paying WWE a decent amount of money to advertise for the Royal Rumble, promoting their return. I believe it's been around before, of Mountain Dew's Pitch Black drink. That is coming out in 2023. So this is almost like, if you remember Kentucky Fried Chicken and Dolph Ziggler, and that's what this is. So Mountain Dew is sponsoring this match. The only reason why we're a little bit nervous about it is, think back to the old Bray Wyatt matches when everything was red or blue, whatever the fucking colors they were. Think back to Seth Rollins complaining about working in those environments. A lot of wrestlers don't like to work in that, those environments. So when you see Pitch Black match, even though it's promoting Mountain Dew, there's going to be a Pitch Black theme to this. And I think the reason why they're doing this is because Uncle Howdy gets involved again. And with the lights so freaking dark, yeah, we're not going to be able to see as much as we want to. So if the fucking building is almost pitch black, with the exception of everybody's phone lights, and there'll be some lighting. I mean, obviously, we're not going to watch just a pitch black arena, but that's where they're pretty much going with this. So it's to hype up the Mountain Dew drink, but it is going to have an influence on what kind of match we get at the Royal Rumble. So, all right. Yesterday also, John Cena made his in-ring return. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people like me, you know, we feared what we were going to get, and that was 90 seconds of a hot tag. We were in a watch party yesterday. As soon as the match started the way it did, we were like, oh, shit, he's only coming in for the hot tag. And that's pretty much what happened. John Cena, you know, getting laid out early in the match. And, you know, it's funny because I didn't see anybody in the front row, with the exception of one woman, but she only did it for a few seconds. Maybe they were just afraid. But John Cena acted like he was unconscious for about 3-4 minutes outside the ring. And people in the front row were like bent over, like looking at him. And I'm like, come on. That's the perfect opportunity to hit your camera phone, hit record, and show everyone what the hell John Cena was doing to sell for 4 minutes of unconsciousness. Maybe we got a Randy Orton, where Randy Orton would be like, you know, like that infamous video. But he was unconscious. Ultimately gets up, gets the hot tag, does his whole you can't see me, does it with Kevin Owens as well. And then ultimately Kevin Owens hits the pop-up powerbomb to Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens gets the pin. And afterwards, when the cameras stopped rolling, John Cena cut a promo, you know, just thanking the fans and wishing everybody Happy New Year, and, you know, thanking the fans for allowing him to do this for 20 years. You know, it was pretty much gaga yesterday. You didn't feel a lot of heat between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was fun, but it just felt like something was seriously missing in that match. But I will say this. Yeah, the Bloodline attacked afterwards, and Drew and the, you know, others made the save. Yeah, but we're talking about Cena's in-ring work. You know, it goes to show you, you don't have to train crazy amounts. I mean, if you're in good physical condition and you only have to do that, you know, John Cena probably really didn't have to prepare that much for the in-ring. Look, it was fun to see him. I enjoyed every minute of it. But you realized we were just getting pretty much 90 seconds of in-ring work. Now, something yesterday also, and I had a feeling, I even joked about it during the watch party. And when Kevin Owens, for those that didn't see it, Kevin Owens, his eye got fucked up. He got clipped. It was accidental, but he got clipped pretty bad. I don't know if I could zoom in. No, it's not letting me zoom in. But Kevin Owens' eye got roughed up really bad. And when they were celebrating in the watch party, I said yesterday, I said, who's going to be the first asshole that is going to claim that Roman Reigns gave Kevin Owens a receipt for War Games? And sure enough, leave it to Give Me Sport to be the first assholes out there. You got to see how many news outlets out there that are writing shit like this today. You know, shut the fuck up. I fucking hate all of you. Seriously. Not everybody tune in. These fucking clickbaiters, man. God. It was an accident. There's no heat between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. But, you know, we knew that that was going to happen yesterday, and it did. So we wish Kevin Owens a speedy recovery because that looked kind of brutal yesterday. Also, Gunther. Hopefully that guy didn't have to get stitches or staples yesterday because Gunther came out with Imperium and ended up having a confrontation with Braun Strowman. Ricochet comes out, makes the save, has a chair, and whacks Gunther while he was outside the ring, and Gunther got split open. So I have not seen any close-ups yet of what happened, but listen, when you get cut open from a chair, usually it's something bad. I mean, you don't usually get like a paper cut from a chair shot, but Ricochet nailed him and opened him up. So we got to hope that Gunther's okay because in 2 weeks, Gunther's going to defend the Intercontinental Championship against Braun Strowman. We may be getting a heel turn for Hit Row, fucking finally. You know, Top Dollar, they're playing off his, you know, his faux pas diving outside the ring 2 weeks ago, and the back locker room, they had a little segment where people were cracking jokes, and he ends up having a shoving contest with Ricochet. So next week, we got a Royal Rumble qualifier, Ricochet versus Top Dollar. And listen, I like AJ Francis. In fact, you could have a lot of fun with this. You know, since he lost a lot of weight, I'd say we call him Half Dollar, seriously. But, you know, Top Dollar, Top Rope, there's a lot of jokes being done. But they teased a little bit of a heel turn yesterday from AJ Francis. If Hit Row turns heel, I'm all for it, man. I still am like, damn, I wish Swerve Strickland was in WWE right now. Yes and no, because I don't know if WWE would have done some of the extreme stuff with Swerve Strickland. And, you know, look, giving a little rub to Parker Boudreau, I'm fine with it. The baseball player, I can't remember his name. But, you know, AJ Francis turning heel, all right. I think that might actually be the way to go. But so we now have a new women's champion leading into 2023. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So yesterday, we only had four matches in WWE for SmackDown. The match results were Solo Sikoa over Sheamus, which was a great match. Ronda Rousey over Raquel, as we said earlier, to retain the women's championship. But then Charlotte comes out, you know the deal. And then Cena and Owens beating Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. On the flip side for AEW, yesterday had Orange Cassidy beating Trent. And Orange Cassidy is going to defend the All-Atlantic Championship against Kip Sabian at Battle of the Belts, which is next Friday night at 11 p.m., which is an awful, awful, awful time slot. And the reason why they're doing that time slot is what we worry about with Ring of Honor. They have to do it somewhere. And they're doing a live Rampage next Friday. And the idea is that the fans get not only the hour of Rampage, they get the Battle of the Belts also. So that's they have to do a live event and put 2-3 shows on one night's worth of work. So because they're going to be doing a live Rampage, they're going to keep the cameras rolling and do Battle of the Belts right afterwards. So we're getting back. I don't know why they couldn't just tape it and just air it at a better day and time, even that Saturday or Sunday. I don't know why you do it at 11 p.m. But then again, honestly, no disrespect, I have no desire to watch Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy. None. Zero. Unless the Redeemer comes back. And we don't think that's happening. And we got some crumb news. You'll want to hear this. And I got a little exclusive sausage about AAA and WWE. If you notice, when I threw that out there yesterday, almost nobody reacted to it. Because they want their favorite journalists to be the ones to break the story. But we might have some interesting sausage. AAA, WWE, working relationship. We'll get into it in a moment. So how long are we going? We're at 45 minutes. All right, we're rolling along. So yesterday we had Orange Cassidy over Trent. Kip Sabian over Atiba. Atifa or Antifa, as people were calling him. He's from the Rocky Mountains, Atiba. You know, it's a shame. I put yesterday a cool profile about Kip Sabian's opponent, if anybody wanted to go check him out, because he's actually a pretty decent wrestler. I wouldn't be surprised if AEW starts giving him a little bit of a play. Nobody gave a shit. After about 4 hours, I think two people even bothered to look, so I deleted it. So, sorry. Jade Cargill retains the TBS championship over Kira Hogan. Swerve Strickland over Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta, number two. So that was Rampage yesterday. Some ratings, very quickly. We got New Year's Smash, NXT. Both went down. You know, NXT, I expected. I think I said Wednesday I expected it to be in the fives, and that's what happened. NXT last week was 705,000 viewers. That was the same night where we had New Day Wrestling and everything. This week, the card was very, very light. Nothing against Wesley and Tony D'Angelo, but they only drew 588. And it was pre-recorded, too. New Year's Smash, Dynamite, from this past Wednesday. The week before, it was 957,000 viewers. This week, it dropped down to 876. So, you know, take that how you will. You know, holidays, Wednesday, I don't know if it would have affected it, to be honest with you, but those were your ratings. Last week, we had a little conversation about the House of Black already being put back into mediocrity. Well, they actually did wrestle this week, everyone. They beat Rosario Grillo, Dean Alexander, and Hagan Shino. I think that's how you pronounce the name. So the House of Black, don't worry, everyone. They still got their momentum. AEW should have waited until after the Elite beat the Death Triangle in this best of seven and have them show up, lay out the Elite, start the fucking feud. Start on fire. Not just throw them out there. We challenge everyone. Everybody is on notice. Everyone has a death sentence, and you're facing Shino nobody. You know, come on. By the way, did you see what's happening now with the CM Crumbs, the FTR, Dax Harwood disaster that's going on? Do you remember when we did predictions for Ring of Honor? I said, the only way I see FTR losing those belts is if they start losing their other championships, AAA, IWGP, and they lost the Ring of Honor tag titles. This week, they lost the AAA tag titles to Dragon Lee, who is now signed to WWE, and I can't remember his partner's name. If someone could, Drillistico. So FTR lost those titles as well. I love the people out there that are saying, oh, no, this is a storyline that they're on a losing streak. Whose storyline is this? AAA? IWGP? Whose fucking storyline? This is the fans' storyline. They can't just accept the fact that FTR's run is coming to an end across the board, especially if they end up going back to WWE, which a lot of people believe. And let me tell you something. Personally, with all due respect, the news media and the EVPs are making it easy to force FTR out the building. And the sad part about it is a lot of fans are not going to take notice, and they're going to turn. I will guarantee you, by next week or the week after, as more of Dax Harwood's podcast comes out, you're going to see fans start turning on that motherfucker big time. Because he supports Cornette, because they may be leaving in April, because of this, because they're close with CM Punk. Remember what I told you way back months and months and months ago, that the fans ultimately were going to back the EVPs because they're the ones that run AEW. They're the ones that are the foundation. They're the ones who are going to be returning. So for the most part, the majority, if they're hardcore AEW fans, they're not going to support the Antichrist of AEW, which is CM Punk. So now, if you remember what we said about Miro, Malakai Black and others, Thunder Rosa, that what happens? Something comes out to put fans on the side of said wrestler, Miro, Malakai Black, Thunder Rosa, three good examples, CM Punk. And then what happens is there's always a journalist that has some comeback article that always goes against that person. If you remember the Thunder Rosa stuff, you remember Miro. Miro's starting to speak out now. Malakai Black, you remember, he didn't appreciate how his personal stuff is, you know, being revealed by executives in that company. What do all three have in common? I mean, all of them have in common. None of them are being pushed. I mean, yes, Thunder Rosa is injured and CM Punk is, you know, we know his situation. But it's going to lead to Dax now. And if you look at 2022, AEW smoke and mirrored that team horribly. Their record on the AEW record books is like 3-6. And they have no substantial wins in 2022 against anybody. I think the Gun Club might be their biggest win under the AEW banner. But here's the thing also. Dax did his podcast and very recently talked about Meltzer and talked about journalists that they seem, and when he was talking about the CM Punk Elite fight that happened backstage at the All Out media scrum, he said that, you know, there's three sides to every story. There's CM Punk's side, there's the Elite side, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. But he also said that he felt that a lot of journalists out there are purposely putting out a narrative to back their favorites. And when he talked about Dave Meltzer, he said that he has a lot of respect for what Dave Meltzer does. But he also said something else that I thought was fabulous. And he basically said that, you know, when he puts things out there to side with his favorites, or there's always this perception that he's taken a side, and with other journalists as well. So if you remember recently, Dax said that he's pleased that he wants CM Punk and the Elite to have a reconciliation so CM Punk could return and they can make history and change, you know, the landscape of pro wrestling for, you know, for the time to come. Well, now this is all starting to come out with Dax talking about, oh, you know, Colt Cabana, I didn't appreciate how he made fun of me, my accent when I first came in. I haven't talked to him even once since I'm there. All these little things are coming out. So what happens? No bullshit. The EVPs, now because fans are like, oh my God, maybe they can work something out. Maybe CM Punk can come back. Could you imagine how much money they can make, Kenny Omega versus CM Punk? That is the narrative now. That is the buzz. Well, a week later, and without naming names, you have Dirt Sheets reporting that people within the locker room, Chris Jericho and others, they are making a stand that there is no way that they will ever allow CM Punk back in AEW. Now, look, in my opinion, Chris Jericho has a podcast. Let Chris Jericho say that, you know. But the fact that Chris Jericho doesn't go against what these sites are saying, obviously you get the deal. But now you see the EVPs, soon as that narrative came out from Dax, and as soon as fans picked up on it, and as soon as fans started thinking, oh my God, yeah, Elite, come on, you guys, it's for us, for wrestling, for the future, it's for the betterment of the company. And they're like, no, Meltzer, blah, 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 this and that, you got to stop this shit now. You got to throw it out there that there are many people within AEW that are very, very vocal. They said that they're no way, shape, or form they're going to allow CM Punk to return. And guess what? When I said CM Punk was the voice of the voiceless, now you understand even more. There are a lot of people within AEW that want to see CM Punk return, that want to see everybody get along, that want to see Andrade back, that want to see, he's recovering from injury, but they want to see, you know, just people just having a good time, get along, stop with the locker room drama for the betterment of the company. And every time that goes out there, you get a reporter that with an unnamed source, or once in a while they'll throw out a name and say, under no circumstances would they ever allow. There are people within AEW that want to see Punk back. They can't speak out. Dax is the only one that's speaking out. And you see what's happening now. Go to 411 Wrestling's Twitter. I don't have it in front of me. I'd show you a screenshot. They posted the quote of Dax talking about, you know, Meltzer and favoritism towards, you know, certain people within AEW. 95% of the responses are all anti-Dax Harwood. And they're all basically saying, like, you know, he comes out with LGBTQ colors, and yet he supports Cornette, who is a homophobic racist and all this stuff. You got to see the wild shit. AEW put over Dax's daughter and this and that, and this motherfucker is stabbing him in that. You got to see. You give it a week or two, and Dax Harwood is going to be public enemy number three. Remember, CM Punk was public enemy number one. Anybody who knows why I did that, props to you. Andrade was public enemy number two. Dax Harwood is now public enemy number three. And I think their exit from AEW is pretty much already set. They do not want people like those guys and gals to make noise, stir it up. That foundation ain't changing anytime soon. Us, as long as we get good wrestling, we don't give a shit, right? As long as we see good shit on AEW, that's what we care about, right? But we still got to address things because a lot of people will turn a blind eye to it. And what they've done to Dax and FTR and Cash over the last year, it's horrendous. Now they're losing their championships, and I'll segue into this. I got this directly from someone who I trust in wrestling. You know, recently WWE signed Dragon Lee. And he's got an interesting deal because he's still going to be allowed to do some outside projects. I think once Sasha Banks returns to WWE, I think you're going to hear people compare Sasha Banks' contract a little bit to Dragon Lee's. I kid you not. Dragon Lee is allowed to do some outside things. But here is the kicker. I was told, it's not 100%. That's why I'm saying sausage more than anything else. But Triple A and Triple H, all right, I bailed myself out of that one. Triple A and Triple H have had meetings. And they are this close of having a working relationship. As soon as the Royal Rumble or shortly thereafter, that once the I's and the T's are dotted and crossed, you will see a working relationship between AAA and WWE. Some people in the wrestling news world already know this. They're not putting it out there, especially because FTR just lost the tag titles to one half of the team that is a contracted WWE wrestler in Dragon Lee. Notice how there's no buzz. Oh my God, that's history. An AEW contracted wrestler lost the championship to a WWE contracted wrestler. Nobody's talking about it. So you heard it here first. I'm throwing it out there. There are talks, serious talks, between AAA and WWE for a working relationship. And we should hear something very, very soon. And just remember, you know, where you heard it. I don't normally do that, but I have a few people that have been giving me, oh, and I decided we'll hold it till Wednesday. Wednesday, we'll have some fun with the Sammy Guevara visa story, why he and Ty Mello were unable to compete for AAA. This is no way, shape, or form throwing shade at Sammy Guevara. I'm a huge Sammy Guevara fan. So this is, don't expect me to shit on Sammy Guevara, but the visa story that's been put out there, creative. That's all I'm going to say right now. But I got this directly from some people. So once I give you more information, you know, I'll let you know. But, you know, and you know why I'm starting to get this, even with some other little tidbits I've been throwing out there, even the Sasha Banks stuff. Sasha Banks went to Japan, came back to the States, and then she went back to Japan this week. Remember PW Insider last week? They had to be first in the record books. And they based it on a Japanese talent agent who said, Sasha Banks, go to Japan, December 21st to December 23rd. Let's make it happen. And then December 21st, Sasha arrived in Japan. No photos, no nothing. Well, I'm going to show you Sasha Banks is now in Japan. Any of you know Japanese wrestler Tomorrow? Tomorrow, right? Is that, not Tomorrow, Tomorrow. T-O-M-O-R-O. I don't recall ever watching his work, but it's his birthday. And Sasha Banks attended his birthday celebration. There you go. That is Sasha Banks with Tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. So here's a little video too if you want to go check it out. There is Sasha Banks with the camera. Look on the left. Look, he is opening up. Oh, what do I want for Christmas? Look what I got. Look what I got, everyone. I got a sword. I got a sword. Can you imagine if somebody in Brooklyn had a birthday video and revealed that shit?
Wow.
Oh, my God. Hey, it's pretty cool, man. Honestly, I watched this video. I thought it was pretty damn cool. So,
300 years ago.
300 years ago. He speaks English better than I speak Japan. So, all right. Oh, he's a rapper. No shit. So he's not even arrested. No. Ah, see, now you know I'm honest. Because I said, I don't recall ever watching tomorrow matches. He's not even a wrestler. That's why. He's a rapper. Okay, cool. Thank you, Soulfly. So, yeah, so now there's a logic. Now, how many podcasters out there are going to say, yeah, tomorrow, he's fucking great in the ring. Yeah, I saw him wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom 3. Yeah, I never saw him wrestle. So now there's a good reason why. So, all right, so we're going to start bringing this home. William Regal penned a little touching tribute to AEW. Yesterday was his last day in AEW, and I'm going to share with you right now. He wrote online, and I quote, "Yesterday was my last official day with AEW. I'd like to thank Tony Khan, Mega, and all the hardworking crew. Contrary to people who's never spoken to me or have their information from people who don't know me, are trying to make themselves noticed. I had a lovely time working there and had a great time. Lots of talented wrestlers, lovely people to work for. To my fellow Blackpool Combat Club members, it was a special, albeit brief, few months, but it cemented already strong friendship. To everyone there, thank you for welcoming me. Best wishes." Remember all those reports, exclusive, that William Regal was leaving because of the locker room stuff? How many of those blue check marks that lied to you with that? You know, William Regal, classy as a mofo. William Regal doesn't get involved with the politics. And leaving on the right terms. And like I told you, you know, a lot of people are still saying William Regal is not going to be seen on WWE camera for a whole year. I will guarantee you, in 2023, within the first 6 months, you will see William Regal on camera in some capacity. Will he be an on-air character? I have no idea. But I'm telling you, and I also know this, I'm not there. I won't witness it. I don't know anybody that will witness it. There ain't going to be no straggler employees to call me up. Yeah, I was sweeping the floor and I heard this. You're not going to get that. But I guarantee you, if you do see William Regal on a WWE television, on a WWE screen in 2023, I guarantee you, just how classy he is and businesslike, he will call Tony Khan first. And Tony Khan, I really believe, will give his blessing. Just like how Vince McMahon let William Regal out of his deal a little early so he could start with AEW sooner, I think on the flip side, you know, William Regal is not going to hurt AEW in any way if he shows up on a WWE screen. And William Regal's not going to do anything to stab AEW in the back. That is somebody that you want in your company. Now, we don't know what vice president position that he's going to be in. He's going to be an EVP, even though people don't want to use that term because, you know, that's for the elite. But very, very cool. Very classy the way he went out. So with that said, what else do we have to talk about? I think that is it. Yeah, we talked about the AAA stuff. We talked about, yeah, we're done. So we got pretty much about an hour. So now Monday, I should have an update about the Tammy Lynn Sitch DUI manslaughter trial. I actually talked to her boyfriend yesterday, and he told me a few things that are very, very interesting as far as what's going on. Nothing that's been made public. I asked him, let me know what I can say and what I can't say. And I will say this in hindsight. Look, Tammy, make no question about it. I've said it many times before. I defended her for years. She's got to go to jail. In my opinion, she's got to go to jail 10 years minimum. She's got to pay the price. I don't. Yes, addiction is an illness, but in this case, she killed someone. She's got to pay the price. You know, but it's kind of almost weird that, what was it, like 6 months ago, that this guy is threatening to kill me. This guy's threatening to show up in my neighborhood, and that guy is a scary dude. That guy has a little bit of a checkered past. Now I get along with him. You know, would I hang out with him? No. But he actually trusts me that I'm going to do the right thing and just tell it like it is. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But, you know, remember how that Florida media was editing his shit. But, you know, we'll talk about it. I'll let you know Monday what I can reveal, but there's some interesting stuff that's going to go down. We already talked about how she's trying to work out a plea deal, And that's why certain things were postponed a little bit. But there's a few other things. And I promise you this, nothing I say Monday is going to put her in a positive light. So I don't want anybody to think that this is to spin. I'm just going to throw out some details that you haven't heard anywhere else because it's not public. But it'll give you a little insight as far as how the legal process works, not only criminally, but civilly. Is that even the right word, civilly? I don't know. All right. So before we get out of here, just a couple, if you don't mind, quick super shout outs. And don't forget, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be here. We will reign in the new year. I think we may have some giveaways as well. Might be giving away like a whole bunch of YouTube channel memberships. So this way, some of you could out there could access some additional content, some content of the shows I do on Tuesdays. Might have some autograph giveaways tonight, maybe even a Bray Wyatt. The only problem is, like, I don't know how we're going to do it. You know, do we do impromptu trivia? Do we do who am I's? You know, I want to spend part of New Year's Eve with my wife. So, you know, I'm going to just find like two or three videos, live streams that we can simulcast and not get in trouble for. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how we do it tonight. But the idea is we're going to reign in the new year together. And anybody that would like to show up tonight, you are invited and we'll have fun. If you want to talk wrestling, we can. We could talk about whatever. You know, you want to talk about Barbara Wawa passing away or Pope Benedict, unfortunately. You know, those they lived into their 90s. God bless them. I mean, I want to live to be 73, not 93. So we'll talk about it. Bob the Builder, watch. Okay, he nailed it. Watch everyone go after Dax since he pointed out Colt was not a good guy. Oh, wait a minute. This is from the other day. No wonder why it's so on point. But yeah, no, you're right. But they're going to go after him because of the Meltzer, the EVPs, how they pushed the narrative. I'm telling you, here, you know what? Since I got him on the screen, here is the quote. Here's the quote that Dax said. He said, his star ratings, that's his opinion. The historian Dave Meltzer, I have a lot of respect for. What I don't necessarily have a respect for is the favorites that are played, the information that is skewed to fit a certain narrative. I don't have a lot of respect for that or even his star ratings. That's what he said. And like I said, in return, those EVPs, I'm telling you, man, those crumbs, no one will ever be honest and tell you, but those crumbs are so out there. You have no idea how many journalists that they will throw little dirt to and keep it anonymous. They'll deny. You know what they'll say? I don't get paid from AEW. AEW doesn't pay me. Yeah, AEW doesn't pay any of them, but they give them crumbs to put out a narrative. Oh, people are starting to get pissed off at Miro. Why isn't he be used? Oh, we'll just use the creative shit. So people will be like, oh, yeah, nah, I don't blame AEW for not using them. Malakai Black putting a little bit of a hissy fit. You know, oh, it's mental health. And they mock it. And the websites report it. And then he's like, I don't like, you know, my shit being put out there like that. You know, now he's back and come on. Anything feel any different? You know, they have a better look and Julie Hart fits in better. What does that mean? Then you look at Andrade. Andrade had surgery, but you look at Andrade and what happened with that narrative with him. Oh, he's trying to be fired. You know, he's trying to start a fight to get fired. Now you see it with Dax. You see it with Dax. Even the Thunder Rosa stuff was awful. The Thunder Rosa stuff was awful. I hope she comes back. And I know she is much more liked than disliked as far as AEW. In fact, all the people I just said, she's probably the most well-liked in that building. But, you know, with her, if you said to me that she never returns, it wouldn't surprise me. But I think she will. I think that she will. So, sticky fingers, Frank. I'll do it one more time right before we leave. Chris Cutra, thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you. Great women's title match. Very creative with the spots in the arm. I tell you, I liked the final spot. For those that didn't see it, Ronda Rousey had an arm bar on Raquel Rodriguez. And they were standing on the top rope. And in the watch party, we were yelling out, just fall backwards, just fall backwards. Now, if you looked at how they were positioned, 9 times out of 10, if Raquel Rodriguez just falls backwards, Ronda Rousey lands underneath her and the hold is broken. This time around, Ronda did not break it and kept her in the armbar, and Raquel Rodriguez tapped out. I thought that was really good. We were pissed off that Shayna Baszler was not ejected early on, because when the referee was complaining about Shayna Baszler, and it was stupid too. I mean, I know it's TV, you know, and they, you know, it's not perfect, but the referee's looking right at Shayna Baszler getting involved in a match, and then you hear him saying, "Did you touch her? Did you touch? We saw you saw her," and then he doesn't eject her. That's, we thought it was, we expected Shayna Baszler to get involved in the finish. But surprisingly enough, no, she won clean. Shayna Baszler is just a watcher at ringside. So it was creative. Just the way they did the Charlotte thing, it made no sense for Ronda Rousey to do it. Charlotte should have baited her. What's the matter, Ronda? You're chicken shit? You know, smack her in the face, hurt her, you know, ego, and just stand there and look gorgeous. The title change felt like one of those WWE things where I wonder if Ronda quit, got fired, or failed the drug test just out of nowhere. It made no sense. Nah, if you look at the other examples I showed earlier, from AJ Lee to Triple H and others, you know, there's no controversy attached to it. I think leading into the Royal Rumble, you know, they go in a different direction. Hey, you know, even Ronda Rousey, you know, her reign, you know, it was lacking. It was lacking. You look at the gauntlet match. Nothing against those other women, but WWE has used Emma horribly since she's returned. Xia Li can't get any momentum whatsoever. Sonya Deville, just no momentum there. You go down that roster, I mean, there's nobody there that, you know, Ronda, if she's peanut butter, who's her jelly? You know what I mean? So this could lead to a feud with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte right now. And let's be honest, you know, they've had some magic together and they've had some caca together. So, no, I don't think there's any controversy with this. Hey, look, anything is possible. But I'm not aware of Ronda Rousey, a substance abuser or anything like that. I think, hey, we're going into 2023, you know, new year, new champion, you know, new set of circumstances, Royal Rumble, Road to WrestleMania. Yeah. You know, it was cute. I'll tell you this before we start bringing it home. I'll tell you this. I thought it was cute. If you Google it, you'll see the guilty parties. Right after Charlotte Flair won the championship yesterday, at least 7 websites that I could find all raced to write an article that our sources tell us that Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch is no longer being considered at WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey just lost the championship. Our sources tell us that Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship is no longer being considered. Good luck. I mean, I read that and I'm like, you can't be that ridiculous. You can't be that. Our sources tell us. Oh, my God. I can't understand how anybody believes in those people. But it is kind of funny. It's humorous because it was literally 5 minutes after Charlotte won the championship. So, and some of you ask me this off and on. DT, how do you find out about this stuff so quickly? Well, when I used to report news, and I talked about this very recently, I gave a little insight as far as how you get alerts, you know, whether it's Google and other ways you get alerts. I still have all those, you know, settings set up still. I just have a different email address that it all goes to. I have about 12, 13,000 emails just sitting in email purgatory from the email address I used to use when I used to report news. So once in a while, I'll just go in there and see if anything popped up that I should, you know, take notice to. And you get the alerts and you click on it and you see it. And that's how you get it. So, Stony Loney, thank you for the 5-spot, my friend. Just wanted to tell myself, Happy New Year. God bless me and my family. Same to you, my friend. Same to you. Thank you very much, Stony Loney. Thank you for always supporting the shows. Every single one of you out there, thank you for supporting the shows. I hope you enjoyed this, you know, maybe not so abbreviated edition of the Don Tony Show, but, you know, I wanted to get the majority of the news done here today, since tonight is just going to be laid back. I'm not even sure if I'm going to put audio versions of tonight online because, you know, we're just going to be hanging out, chatting. I mean, if we have some fun conversation, then yeah, I'll make some audio versions of it as well. But the idea tonight is just to chill, everyone hanging out, chatting about whatever, watching some fireworks, drinking a little bit, eating, and just having some fun. So I will be here at 10 p.m. Eastern to start it off. We'll go until about 12:30. Yes, the missus will have to make a cameo because the bottle of champagne will be in this room. So I want to thank you all. Much love. I'm really looking forward to 2023, and that's not trying to, you know, fluff it up a little bit. 2022 was much better than 2021. Much better. And then you think about 2023, Cody returning, contracts expiring, WrestleMania, bloodline, storyline changes, you know, just AEW stuff going down. And there's a lot more than just that. I mean, what's going to happen with Sasha Banks? We can probably get a little tease tonight. Remember my Sasha sausage. Say that fast 10 times. Little New Year's Eve surprise. WWE was not going to let her, let New Japan make an announcement prior to 1/1/23. So, yeah, 2024, I know, because MJF, but believe it or not, a lot of us think that an extension was already worked on. And I honestly think that could be the case for the simple reason that, you know, you look at FTR's 2022 in AEW. Like, yeah, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors about them holding three sets of titles, but they never held the AEW, you know, at all. Not with the other titles. They never had those four sets of belts. And when you really look at their AEW official record, it's awful. It's terrible. And you wonder if some of that momentum over the last 3-4 months was 86th, not just because of their relationship with CM Punk, but because there is no report of them signing a contract extension. So, you know, I think even the same thing with Miro or maybe Andrade. If their contracts are going to come up sooner than we realize, you know, we may see them back on TV again, but they may not get anywhere near any type of push. You know, makes you wonder about the House of Black. Makes you wonder how many years some of those guys signed a contract for. It makes you wonder what some. So I think 2023 is going to be really, really interesting. I think last year I said 2022 is going to be the year of the contract. I think that kind of came through true in a lot of ways. I think 2023 is going to be the year of debuts and returns. I think we're going to see a lot of shifts and changes. I think some wrestlers currently in WWE will end up in AEW and vice versa. I think we will see some employment changes. So we'll see. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more later on. Big Bill. I think Big Bill is, will he be WWE bound? I don't know. We'll talk about it later. Be well, everyone. Happy New Year.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.